You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Very excited to be with you all here on this Monday because of the game from Saturday, in which the Pelicans absolutely blew out the Cleveland Cavaliers at home, 123-101. This is the Pelicans team that we all thought maybe in a best-case scenario we'd get to see, and they showed up on Saturday night, and they did it against LeBron James and company, though this isn't like the last year's Cleveland team here, but still, they did basically like everything you'd want. We're going to break that all down for you in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, and also preview the game tonight against the Orlando Magic, the surprising Orlando Magic, who right now are the one seed in the Eastern Conference at 4-1. They're doing some interesting things that we're going to talk about here on the podcast today because this team's kind of fun. I don't know if they're for real, but right now they look like world beaters. They've blown out the Cavs. They've blown out the Spurs. Most recently, we'll touch on all of that and more in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. All right, so quickly before talking about the game, there's a couple of topics and things I've wanted to bring up on here, just haven't found the time to do it, or they kind of were announced at odd times. The first is the jersey patch is official. It is Zatarain's. I teased that a couple things were going to be coming on the jersey patch front in the past. The date that it was expected to be announced came and went. That was not a pleasant thing to be incorrect about. But always when it comes to contracts and details, these things can get held up. But the Pelicans managed to get it done before the nationally televised game against the Sacramento Kings. I'm sure Zatarain's didn't want to miss that. It doesn't look bad, to be honest. You know, it's red with the little Zatarain's like horn-blowing guy on there. And the red on the blue and on the white kind of stands out a little bit, but it's not nearly as bad as some other patches around the league. Look at the Brooklyn Nets if you want to see one that's you can't miss it. Theirs is a big red square. I'm blanking on who their sponsor is at the moment, but it's a big red square on their white jerseys, on their black jerseys, and it doesn't look good. The Pels at least isn't a giant red square. It's just this horizontal rectangle that doesn't look too bad. And as far as sponsors go, you know, there really aren't a lot of great options locally in New Orleans, and you don't need a local sponsor, but that certainly can help things. Everyone had been, you know, talking about Ochsner being one. That was never going to be a case because why does Ochsner need to advertise outside of basically New Orleans, where they own all the hospitals, but there are no other Ochsner hospitals anywhere? So when it came to looking at sponsors, Zatarain's kind of, at least locally, was almost the only one that made sense. They did manage to get it done. I don't know the exact contract amounts. It's certainly not going to be the like $20 million a year that the Warriors are getting. This is probably going to be the lowest one paying in the league. But hey, it's money for the Pels that they can invest in the organization somehow. So certainly a good thing for the franchise. Also want to mention, and this was a bit surprising, though, when you think about it, not that surprising. Prior to the game on Saturday against the Cavaliers over in the season ticket holder beer garden, which has now been renamed to the Dixie Beer Front Porch, which has all sorts of Dixie beer in it, as I go through taste tests trying to find out what's good and what isn't, mostly still bad. Though I will tell you, the Dixie Light out of all three of the ones they have, not the worst. It's like another just a crappy light beer. Like, as long as you don't expect anything good in there, you'll be fine. But also, if you guys been to Rouse's and seen that shit's $10 a six-pack? Brit, what was it?
$9.29.
$9.29 for a six-pack of bottled Dixie beer, which is atrocious. Thank you to my girlfriend over here who got the numbers correct for me. It's terrible. It's a premium beer in the arena, which shouldn't be a thing. We're not here to talk about Dixie beer, but in the Dixie beer front porch or whatever they're calling it, Benson made an appearance to take some promotional photos before the game on Saturday. Interesting to see the owner, you know, the richest guy in Louisiana kind of out there, was taking selfies with fans, which I thought was kind of cool. They were like trying to hop in his, the Mercedes he rolls up in. But he was out there, so they're promoting that brand, you know, big time. Figured, you know, worth mentioning to you all. Maybe if you get some season tickets, you'll get to see Tom Benson hanging out and drink some Dixie beer with him. So let's get to the game. This is what matters, of course. The 123-101 win for the Pelicans over the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James and company. And this game is the perfect Pelicans game. There's a few things to nitpick, and let's not be too nice to the team today. It's a Monday. We're all kind of grumpy. We'll talk about some things that could have been a little bit better. But for the most part, this was a near perfect game for the Pelicans. There's kind of no other way to put it. And look, this Cleveland team is now 3-3. Their defense is bad right now. They don't look good, as I think most people thought they kind of might with losing Kyrie Irving. You lose some offense, Isaiah Thomas not playing and being healthy yet for him. So their guard play and their backcourt is just, it's like an episode of The Walking Dead or something there. So you got J.R. Smith, you got Iman Shumpert, Dwayne Wade, Kyle Korver, kind of Jay Crowder, Jose Calderon, Seti Osman. Like, none of those are good right now, other than maybe Jay Crowder, but he's playing the kind of front court form, so it doesn't really matter. So they're kind of a wasteland of guard play, but who cares? Because the Pelicans stepped up and played out of their minds, led by the two big birds here in Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. And again, I don't know what more you can really say about these guys. DeMarcus Cousins, let's start there. 29 points, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, one turnover. Davis had zero. So combined between your two bigs, one turnover, which is freaking awesome. So DeMarcus Cousins with the triple-double, icing the game down late kind of for this team. Got to the free throw line, hit some threes. Basically everything you wanted out of him, he delivered. And right now, you could make a case that he might be the front runner for MVP. Him or Giannis up there in Milwaukee probably are your two early front runners for that award. He is doing everything you want for the Pelicans. He's keyed in on defense at times, which is nice to see. He had three steals on the night as well. So he's just doing everything you want. And he had one of the cooler moments when he came out of the game to a basically standing ovation to the Smoothie King Center. Started high-fiving fans on the baseline. He was fired up. He was having a great time. This is just me lip reading from a distance, and I'm not entirely sure if he said this, but at one point it didn't look like he mouthed to the fans there as they were cheering for him. I was, damn right, y'all better be fucking cheering for me, or something like that. Maybe I'm paraphrasing here, but that's what it looked like he said. Can't say he's wrong. He played an outstanding game, continued up, you know, holding this team, carrying this team like he did against the Sacramento Kings. Davis had a quieter night going into the fourth quarter. Going into the fourth quarter, he had 20 points. He finished with 30 on the night because at the start of the fourth, when he finally came back in, he scored 10 straight points by himself. And it was pretty sweet. He had a monster. So it started, he had a two. Then he hits a three. Then he has a monster putback dunk after DeMarcus Cousins miss, where he comes flying through the lane. You saw this on SportsCenter, by the way, if you watched the highlights. And I think it made the top 10. Threw down a monster dunk and then followed it up with another three-pointer for 10 straight points for the Pelicans. That really just kind of put the game away and, you know, ended it right there. Not that it was any question. He got to the line too, finished with 14 rebounds. So he had 30 and 14 along with three blocks. And what was a really quiet night for him. He looked kind of off, like maybe the knee was still bothering him a little bit, though I think he's okay from that. Certainly, and 2 of 4 from three for him is really good. 6 of 6 for the line. Again, these two guys deliver on a nightly basis. There's no question there that they are going to show up. It's the other guys that there's questions about. And that's what we're going to talk about in a moment. Don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com, the companion site to the podcast here. We've got a great team of writers. I'm really excited about them. Half of them made their debut articles up there last week. We got the other half coming up this week. Make sure you check it out. Make it part of your daily routine. You listen to the podcast on your drive to work or your drive home from work. That's the goal here. But you also want to kill some time at work. That's what when I used to work in an office, that's what I would do. You get into the office, you fire up your computer, you probably get some coffee, and then I would check a couple of websites that I read first thing every morning. Make Locked On Pelicans part of that, so be sure to check it out. We're going to have a lot of great content up this week and for the entire season. So like I said, we know the Pelicans' big birds are going to show up. Davis and Cousins definitely did that. But again, the question has always been, what about these other guys? And that's, you know, a valid question. Dante Cunningham, in his 31 and a half minutes played, scored 2 points. and only grabbed 4 rebounds. They're not impactful. Etuan Moore has had some nice games this year, but he's also had games where he's been silent. But on Saturday, Etuan Moore, who's maybe a temporary starter, but is all of a sudden looking like maybe once Rondo comes back, you keep him in that starting lineup. Dude scored 24 points. I believe it tied a career high for him, or at least as high as a Pelican. He was 10 of 13 from the field. He missed just 3 shots, was 4 of 6 from deep. And frankly, if he's doing that, you don't need to care about any of the other stat lines he has. He had his shots. It's as simple as that. Sometimes, as I've said, you know, over the past year on this podcast, it can be a make or miss league. Etuan Moore is a fine player. I think he's one of the more average players in the league, but to be average, you've got to be above average at times as well as below average. He was most definitely above average tonight. If he can hit his shots, 4 of 6 is good volume for him. When he's 1 of 3 or, you know, 2 of 3 or 1 of 2, it doesn't do much. Here, he was a threat last night or the other night. And frankly, more than that is when he was not hitting threes, and again, he had 6 non-threes made, he was getting into the lane. That floater and working off the ball is a good fit for him. He showed he can kind of cut and dart around, catch it, and like we said, he's got that runner, that floater in the lane that is pretty good. At times, you don't want him taking it. But when he's got that going, you're going to like Etuan Moore a lot. If he's hitting threes, getting to the restricted area and the paint, you're going to be happy. He showed up, and he deserves credit for it because, again, this doesn't happen every night, but it shows you a glimpse of what he's capable of doing and why this team's keeping him around and giving him a much larger role this season than he had last year. But really, the big star of the night, not Etuan Moore, not Anthony Davis, not DeMarcus Cousins, was the, I don't want to call it a reemergence of Jrue Holiday, but Jrue Holiday had his best game since the Pelicans traded for DeMarcus Cousins. And I was talking to Michael McNamara on Twitter about this. This sample size for him this year was not 5 games leading up to this 6th game. It goes back to after the trade. He's been pretty bad through those 5 games, had a nice half against the Kings. But you've got to look at it in a larger context. He played very poorly after the trade for DeMarcus Cousins. He played okay when paired in the backcourt with Tim Frazier. So there is very much a real concern about what's going on. Now, he had such a phenomenal game on Saturday that if he keeps playing like this and doesn't even need to keep playing at this level, he's going to shut all of us up very quickly. Holiday on the night, 29 points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 of 6 from 3, 12 of 17 overall, 70.6% shooting, and 1 made free throw. We don't care about that, though getting the line would be a good thing. We'll take the 29 points and all of those other numbers. Holiday has had trouble shooting since this trade, whether it's spacing issues or he's not the best spot-up shooter and prefers to maybe do it off the dribble. He was there tonight, and he was stroking it. 4 of 6 again from 3, matching Etuan Moore. Exactly what you want to see off him. But the bigger thing is the aggressiveness from him. Those 4 of 6 from 3, that's 12 points. Dude scored 29, hit 8 other shots. This is Jrue Holiday, who is driving to the rim and finishing. And after the game, DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis and all of them were saying, they've been telling Holiday, take more shots, be more aggressive. We don't care if you take 20 shots a game. That's when you are your best. You saw it partially against the Kings, but what Holiday does really well is rather than kind of standing at the top of the three-point line, scanning the defense, where's there a gap, where can he thread a pass through, is screw it. Let's just drive. And when I get met at the rim by a big who's rotated over, I'm going to dump it off to Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins down low. That's what he did. And when the gravity that Cousins and Davis require and no big met him down there, he decided to just try and score and do it that way. And it was perfect. This is how Jrue Holiday should play for this team. 29 points again, 7 assists, easy dump offs. Make the defense adjust to you. That's not what he's been doing, but he did it last night or the other night as I record this on Sunday. You guys all know this. And this is what you wanted to see out of Holiday. And this is perfect. You know, Jameer Nelson in 18, 19 minutes didn't score a point, was 0 for 2. And didn't really, though he did have 6 assists, got to give him credit for that. He didn't have an impactful night that he had had in the previous 3 games with the team. And it was okay. Normally, if Jameer Nelson isn't being impactful, we would have thought this team would be toast. Nah, he didn't need to be impactful because Jrue Holiday finally was. The other thing, 1 turnover for him. That I can't tell you the last time he had a game this good with few turnovers when he's been kind of not a turnover machine, but above average in that, which is not what you want to see from your starting point guard. Again, enough credit can't be given to Drew, or it must be given to Drew Holiday here, because he deserved it. Save this team. And again, they need the big three to play like this. If they do that, they'll get enough help elsewhere to be able to win. You might not get 24 points from Etuan Moore every night. That's okay as long as Holiday's playing like this. This will be fine. So some other areas that we need to talk about that were good for the Pelicans before, we will take a look at some bad things. But the good, 11 total turnovers. That's where this team's been getting hurt in defensively. It's a kind of a thing that compounds on itself. They turn the ball over, they get an empty possession, and then it allows their opponent to get out and run. That's very scary when you're playing LeBron James, who can do it. When the Kings went on their run to build up, 70 points in the first half, most of that was scored in transition points off turnovers. Pelicans only had 11 turnovers on the night. They held Cleveland to 6 fast break points scored. Perfect. The other area where the Pelicans haven't been good this year is in the rebounding department, defensive rebounding. They've struggled a little bit. Well, they grabbed 88.1% of available misses from the opponent, from the Cavs, last night. That's great. Given the Cavs only an offensive rebounding percentage, it's going to match the number of 11.9, so 88.1. Cavs only scored 5 second chance points. You're taking away those easy putbacks, those easy offense opportunities for opponents. Your defense is going to look much better when you do that. The Pelicans on the night had a 99.9 defensive rating. Offensive rating, by the way, was 119.4. A net rating of 19.5. That's great. 99.9. That's a very good defensive rating. That's less than what they put up last year when they were the 9th ranked defense. Again, exactly what you want to see out of this team. And finally, other things that kind of jump out to you are points in the paint. 68 points out of 123 scored in the paint. Perfect. And this is no surprise with the two bigs and Davis and Cousins working down low. And when you have Drew Holiday driving and dishing to these guys, yeah, you're going to get a lot of points in the paint, points in the restricted area. And if you look at their shot chart, this can be misleading. A lot of times you get, you know, kind of longish 10-foot mid-range jumpers at the top of the key and in the paint area. Basically, nothing was taken there. It's all like 6 feet and under for the Pelicans the other night. Exactly what you want to see out of this team. Again, this is kind of the game that you thought we could see from this team if everything was firing, and to do it against maybe a bad defense, but still, LeBron and the Cavaliers, it's a good thing. That's a good thing. We should be happy about this. So, look, let's talk about the bad here. And there's not much, and this is probably nitpicking a little bit, but some things are worth pointing out. The first is going to be Kevin Love. Dude put up 26 points, was 5 of 6 from 3, and covering the 3-point line to some shooters is still a problem for the Pelicans. You can get away with it when no one else is really helping him out. LeBron only had 18 on the night, though he did have 8 assists. But for the most part, it was Kevin Love trying to carry this team. And he wasn't able to do it, but he did hit some big threes for them and got them kind of back in the lead at one point after the Pelicans' lead had kind of been eroded. It's okay, but they need to kind of clamp down on those short corners. Kevin Love, I think, hit 2 from the right corner at one point, and that was pretty bad. That's what got them back into it. Being able to close out on the perimeter is kind of an issue. Overall, though, I'm not too upset in this case. You know, it's tough to be in a game where you win 123-101. The more glaring issue here is probably that the Pelicans bench in the entire game scored, and this is some of these guys playing in garbage time, too. They had, let me add it all up here, 9 total points for the bench. That's kind of scary. You're not going to get 24 points out of Etuan Moore every night. You need some of these points to kind of be shared around. Ian Clark hit 1-3. That was it. Josh Smith. By the way, the Josh Smith signing is official. That's what I meant to say when I was talking about Zatarain's earlier. I'll talk about him at the end of this here. Charles Cook on a 2-way contract came in, hit a shot. Tony Allen hit a 2. Oh, goodness, did he look bad shooting free throws. He airballed 1 and then hit front iron on the next one on free throws. Not good. You know, Jameer Nelson didn't score, though. Again, he didn't need to because that wasn't going to be his role. But you'd like to see some scoring for people out of the bench. But the Pelicans did a good job of staggering their bigs in their lineup the other night. Cheick Diallo got out there, didn't score, but that's okay because he was playing with DeMarcus Cousins or Anthony Davis. Darius Miller does not look like the standout from the European League with Bamberg in Germany. He was 0-for-3 on the night. Tony Allen's only playing a few minutes, but these guys don't, you don't trust this bench to really get out there and score. And frankly, outside of the bench, the only guy who played, only two bench players who played in double figures were Jameer Nelson and Ian Clark. Everyone else is basically like 7 minutes and under. That's a concern because you're riding these guys to some heavy, heavy minutes that you don't know if they're going to, you know, maybe wear out as the season goes on. We're early on. You don't want to burn them out too quickly. It's a concern. They need some of these guys on the bench to step up and play kind of well. That's a concern going forward. You're not going to win games if your bench is scoring 9 points. They got away with everything the other night. That's all that matters at the end of the day. The W looked good. The starters looked good. The impactful players were impactful. But keep an eye on this. So before we pivot and talk about the Orlando Magic and this game coming up tonight in the Smoothie King Center, which should be really a fun game, actually, I do want to mention there the Locked On Podcast Network has a podcast for every team in the NFL almost and every team in the NBA almost. So make sure, tune into Locked On Magic this afternoon if you get a chance. Learn a little bit more. I'm going to preview them here, but I don't know that much about the team. I've watched them a little bit and can give you an idea of what to watch for and what, you know, might burn the Pelicans here. And also, they play the Timberwolves coming up on November 1st. That's going to be fun on Wednesday. Tune in to Locked On Wolves. That's a good one. I've heard that one a couple of times before. I really like it. Just give them a listen. Whenever the team is playing someone you're not too familiar with, you can pop on to one of the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Listen for 15 minutes, whether you're driving home from work or while you're working out. Some people tell me they listen in the shower while they're naked, and that's just too much information for me. But make sure you listen to the different podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. So the Magic coming to the Smoothie King Center tonight. In this is a surprising 4-1 team. They were not good last year. Let's not pretend. But they've got a good coach in Frank Vogel, former Pacers head coach. And they're kind of building something here. And you can see what they're doing. And it's actually kind of fun. Right now, they are, like I said, first in the Western Conference at 4-1. They have the third best offensive rating. They have a top 15 defensive rating while also playing with a fast pace. They're fourth in the league there. And they've got some really good wins. They beat the Miami Heat on opening night. The Heat are all right. They beat Cleveland 114-93. Then they beat Brooklyn. That's no surprise there. But the biggest one was the 114-87 just beatdown of the San Antonio Spurs. Minus Kawhi Leonard, of course. But still, that's not what you're expecting to see. You're not expecting to see them blow anyone out. But they're doing something that's pretty interesting, but there's ways to beat this team. So a couple of things. So what's really good here for the Pelicans is I think Elfrid Payton, the New Orleans native, which kind of sucks, isn't going to be playing. And that sucks because he gets a great crowd. I know he does a lot of work. He's from the West Bank. Went to ULL, as everyone knows, or what, Louisiana is what they're calling the school now. And it's just a shame that he's not going to be able to play in front of his hometown crowd and everything. I think his AAU team still is based out of here. So he does a lot. It just kind of sucks that he can't be out there. And also, he's kind of a fun player, and he's playing pretty well. And looks like he might be good at some point. But these guys are led really by three players that are surprising. They've got Aaron Gordon, the power forward, who's kind of turning into being a bit of a stud, averaging 23.7 points per game, almost grabbing 10 rebounds a game, and shooting from three quite well. He's shooting 72.3% on the year. Evan Fournier, who's got the greatest nickname in Never Google, is also bombing from deep. He's taking 5 attempts per game, hitting 56% of them. That's a little bit scary. And then same thing, and Nikola Vucevic, who's a big but also got three-point shooting range, he's bombing from deep, 4.4 attempts per game, and he's connecting on 45.5 of them. That's a bit of a concern. As we said, the Pelicans aren't defending the three-point line too well. If these bigs start bombing from there, it can be potentially a long night for the Pelicans if they're not connecting. Right now, the Magic are number one in three-point percentage. The good news is outside of those guys, they're not really taking a lot of threes, so if you can kind of contain them, you might feel okay with it. Terrence Ross, their other big, is the only other guy taking over four attempts per game, really, and he's shooting a woeful 24% from it. So their game's built kind of around those bigs getting their threes and then trying to slash once the court's been properly spaced. Their court spacing is something. Keep an eye on it. It's pretty cool. So they bomb from deep kind of early and then use that to open up the court and attack the rim later on. They do a good job of it. This isn't a good rebounding team, though. So when they do miss, they are not grabbing offensive boards, partially because those guys are all on the perimeter. Pels need to be a solid defensive rebounding team. I want to see if it's going to keep up. Some of those long rebounds get away from the Pelicans. It can be a concern. Other than that, though, like I think this is kind of a beatable team. They're going to try and get out there and run, but that's the pace that the Pelicans want. They don't force turnovers. They're not great at rebounding. So I think this is a game that kind of plays maybe into the Pelicans' favor. As long as they just don't get outshot, I think that'll be okay. The other flip side, though, they do a very good job of limiting opponents' three-pointers being shot and contesting anything. They are third best in the league in opponent field goal percentage. Opponents are shooting just 41.5% against them. Again, the Pels are getting such quality looks down low and in that restricted area. I'm not really worried about this tonight, though. Who knows? I could be wrong, but I think this is a very winnable game for the Pelicans. We've said if they can go 500 during this stretch, this opening 12-game stretch of 8 of the first 12 on the road, you got to take care of the games at home. You've got one against the Cavs. Get this one against the Magic. And if they beat this Magic team, I think people might start taking note of this Pelicans team. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. See you tonight at the Smoothie King Center, and I will have the recap for you tomorrow. As always, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Again, move to Megaphone now, but you can subscribe any number of ways. No longer on Audio Boom. Don't forget, please, rate it 5 stars on iTunes. That makes a world of difference in keeping this free for you guys and 5 days a week. Also, like it on Facebook. Just search Locked On Pels and follow it on Twitter at Locked On Pels, as well as checking out LockedOnPelicans.com. So that'll do it for this edition. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.